Hey Jeffrey, you wanna say a few words?
Yeah, okay. So they're making awesome drawings, like everyone else in the last group session. And one thing that was brought up is like, people wonder where my drawings came from, because I mentioned I make lots and lots of other shows and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so I put out a lot of my drawing books and made that in my house to see.
Because you're always sketching in the books and then you select paper from the books to...
No, I don't really do that. Usually I start every drawing like me. I never really try to make a sketch.
Uh-huh.
In other words, you make it a point of finishing it, starting and finishing a drawing within a day, you say?
I was just saying that I make every drawing without like thinking about what it's going to be before I say.
Right. By 10 drawings, have you spent 2 months in a drawing?
Sure, yes. Not necessarily every day working on it, but it lasts a long time.
Generally, how long does a drawing take? If there's a standard.
I don't think there's a standard, but generally I could timeline it by a sense of when I make the first mark to when it's in a frame. To when it's like in a frame. So none of these like are really done until I find like the perfect frame of the presentation.
Okay. Your digital activity, is that relatively new? I've said relatively.
Yeah, I think so.
So the last year or so.
Mm-hmm.
Have you looked?
I've actually worked on a computer before I started drawing.
Okay. So
it's been a long time, but I recently started doing it.
Okay. So does the digital inform the, the non-digital? I mean, of course, it does, because it's not on a computer, but I mean, I'm saying strategically.
Yeah.
How so?
Because I use a mouse to draw. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I can make marks with the mouse that I can't make.
Uh-huh.
Of course, it's all real life, but Japan and other too.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you ever make three-dimensional objects?
Mm.
It seems like so much of the studio is given over to the creation of these two-dimensional characters, but there's so much kind of playfulness and bizarre qualities. It just almost kind of points in the direction of making objects that accompany these characters or are part of their world, if not the characters themselves?
In the end, I'd probably consider most of the drawings, once they have a frame, to be a three-dimensional object.
Yeah. I don't. I mean, only because they're given in relation to the wall as opposed to occupying space and actually kind of suggesting that they have a use. You know, the thing that concerns me is that and I do feel like I have a concern for the for what you're doing in here, is that it all seems to be of one piece to me, like this kind of perpetual return to a kind of character in extremis who has exaggerated features and demeanor, and it feels like there is a kind of perpetual repetition on that theme.
Well, if I were to pick, if I were to say what my zeal was, it would probably be some sort of capacity, the killing sense in the final image.
But we're actually referring to what is the final image?
Well, I think that's what I'm trying to find out.
In other words, Janice suggested that there's a that your subject matter, or perhaps even your content, is fairly circumscribed. Or maybe too circumscribed, is the point that's suggested. That is there a way to, in other words, keeping this alive, as it's really vital, but in a way, moving obliquely away from it, but taking advantage of it, but not in the same way that you have before. I know that you're using the digital, and I see, you had told me that you were working on a video, is it?
Well, I think it could, I work on different levels, like the small, very small drawings, I call them scratches, because they're very small, and they help me get a bigger sense of when I do the medium-sized works, like how I would approach that work. And so I have something, you know, like a scratchy or like a bigger drawing. And these drawings, the middle, sort of the middle scale will form or help me like get a sense of clarity or perspicacity about what my next bigger project will be, for example, like a film.
So they're kind of character studies in a way?
Not necessarily character studies, more like editing studies.
More like what, editing studies?
Anything studies.
Everything studies? You know, do you know the work of this artist named Carol Dunham?
No.
Might be someone for you to look up. Contemporary painter who makes makes incredible paintings of these characters that are genetically quite related to yours, and that they're extreme characters, and they might even be considered to be clowns, although I know he doesn't think of them as clowns. And maybe they have some kind of relation to the late figures of Philip Guston, the Ku Klux Klan figures and whatever. But I would love it if you would look at Carol Dunham's work, because they are all related. It's like, you know, he makes this body of work and these characters are very related, but they have very distinct personas and they're undergoing different sorts of events. And I appreciate the inventiveness of the drawings and the characters, and at the same time I feel like they haven't gotten the specificity that they need to have yet. I think that, in fact, I'm kind of curious about these two canvases. If this is like another thing that you do, or is it a new development for you, or is it a setting, perhaps, that, how do you think about what's going on with the canvases versus the drawings?
I feel like they're the same.
You feel like they're the same?
Yeah, I'm not really going after like a specificity of the subject.
Why not?
Good
work. I mean, it feels like you are, in fact, going after something really specific. These clownish characters who are surrealistic and who are goofy or animated. It feels like so specific, in fact, that it feels like it is repetitious.
That's right. In other words, your perspicacity, as you call it, has been attaching itself to this sort of totalizing, unified front. And we're suggesting that, as it is there a way that you can enlarge the scope of your concerns somehow? Not to dissuade you from what you're doing, because this is quite extraordinary in terms of its invention, but to sort of harness and focus a bit to create again. Yeah, you quite right. I think Carol Dunham specifically has said that he was very affected by the characters of Guston, right? And it was,
I would imagine, yeah.
I mean, I think has said this in interviews, particular types that Guston was, you know. It would be great for you to, you know, have to focus on, you know, for instance, I saw, for instance, at the very top, you know, a type of, you know, again, these types of characters and almost the family resemblances. You know, they're from the same order of things, and it seemed to be almost like an alphabet, right? Of forms that could be, you know, that could be generated, and it could be formatted so that they work with each other in line of a particular language that actually says something for you. You know what I'm saying? And you sort of like a. So I think this would be a great way to go. I would, you know, continue, again, keeping within the same range of work and trying to see how many type of types from the same family you can create here. It's pretty overwhelming. You know, your certainly your work ethic is rather astounding. You know, you have this freshness and this seeming spontaneity. I know you work really, really hard to edit what you do, you know, or to show what you need to show. So I know this is this is artifice. So I recognize that. But as Jen says, I think it could be harnessed. It could be harnessed even in terms of a storyline, that you may have, even liminally or residually in your mind, to actually, to realize it. I don't mean in terms of developing a plot or anything. Maybe something like that.
I feel like
it'd be a discontinuous narrative.
Those things may come out in their own right.
No,
absolutely. Eventually.
Absolutely.
But I'm really interested in not really pinning myself down to one mode of expression, and to sort of create as many great and diversified works as I can within my own personality.
I think, oddly, you have limited yourself in the very way that you don't want to. And I fear you're in danger of being known as the clown guy. And, that's something to avoid. It's almost inevitable that people get pigeonholed, or that's the artist who makes those, blue things, or that's the artist who uses packing tape or something. And I do think that while the generation of characters is inventive, I think you're treading water with it. That's my suspicion in looking at, the work over a month or so. And I do see certain things happening that I think are important. And I think the development of context for the characters is the next obvious stage. I was just kind of looking at this sketch right here that makes me think of a kind of palm tree on a desert island. Or I'm looking at, what's going on in this sense here. And maybe a destination of these characters would be something like an animated short or some kind of, film study or whatever. But my guess is that you know how to do this. And this is not a challenge for you anymore. The generation of quirky, strange, queer little characters. I think they need more persona. I think they need a destination. I think you need to take them out of the sketch and, kind of push this whole agenda a lot more. You have a wealth of material here, that's obvious. But I think it's time, at least that's my kind of intuition about what's going on here. It's really time to kind of get it all together and select some things and develop that a little bit more.
I want to interject. Well said. And Jan Scammons needs no special pleading, but I just want to make a comment that Jan is not only an extraordinary writer and thinker, but you're also a consummate curator. And you put together the show a few years ago at Chive and Reed.
They saw the slides on that. They saw some slides.
And so you know that this woman really knows the whole theme, the whole archetype of the clown, and how deathly it is, and how really rich and deep it is. It's not a superficial thing. So but I also want to say, too, that just as this drawing is so different from everything else, because, again, you're giving context, almost a Balthus-like. Context about childhood, about sexuality, about fragility. This is, again, if we're looking at everything else around here, manifestly separate from everything else here. And I would encourage you to go into, again, not to feel that you're being pigeonholed, that you can't pigeon yourself in any way, and that you're limiting your freedom, but just the opposite. You increase your freedom by focusing and harnessing specificity. Your freedom is going to come out of specificity. Not through universals. Keep trying to keep that in mind, okay? This is quite an extraordinary work here. And this is one of the directions I'd like to see you go. I'd like to see the work go. I'd like to see you free your work in this way.
Something else I think about is Juan Miró. Have you ever looked at Miró very much?
That's kind of
good. Yeah. Okay, well, so good. Then you understand why I kind of gravitate to that model. And again, I'm thinking about the Catalan landscape or the Dutch still, like some of that work he did in the 20s, mm-hmm. in which it's just this inventory of characters, a kind of cosmos of characters. Mm-hmm. But they all seem to have some kind of purpose and destiny and fulfill themselves in relation to each other and an environment. And I think that's the kind of next ambition for the work.
Something that interests me in a lot of the drawings, though, is how they have no setting.
Are you talking about Miró? Or
no,
your drawings?
Yeah, my drawings. As opposed to mural works. There are some mural works where the ones that I most enjoy usually go the ones that are less.
The lighter ones?
You know, what we're saying on some level is that there is a setting to your work, and it is a setting of no setting. And that's a thing that you have, and we're saying to you, get off it and start to explore a little more. Because it's not true that there's no setting. It is a setting. It's like when you put untitled in your work, not you, but when someone uses untitled as a work, that's the title of the work. And it's boring. Find another title that refers to untitled, the unapproachable, the unspeakable, the unsayable, no closure, you know, but don't use untitled because it's like, oh, it just doesn't work anymore. So move away from the no setting and create another system of no settings. You see what we're saying? Because you know what we're saying.
Yes.
Everything becomes a theme. The no theme theme becomes a theme. You know, it's a dialectic. So move through the dialectic. Okay, we'll move forward. But it's very, very strong and very vital work. I've always been a very big fan of your work, always. You know, this vitality is really very, very strong for me.
What's scutter?
Oh, it's my last name.
Do you know what it means?
No.
You might want to look that up. It's a scutter. Okay, look into the dictionary. It's an old English word. Okay. Very good.
Okay, thank you.